It is so good to be here this morning with you all. Today we have reached the end of a season, brothers and sisters. That is, in the liturgical calendar, today is the last day of the year. And as Methodists, we observe a different calendar than the secular world, one that is full of tradition and remembrance. And it was purposely constructed to disciple us and to guide us in our faith journeys. Now, before you all think that I've lost it up here this morning, I do realize that today is only the 20th of November, right? And so New Year's Eve is still 6 weeks away or so. But in our church calendar, it is clear that this is the end of a season. And we will be embracing a new season next Sunday as we begin Advent, the season that comes before Christmas. So perhaps a good way of explaining this would be that we are moving from a time of remembering to a time of anticipating. Anticipating the coming of our Savior, the birth of a king in a manger. Now, last week, Pastor shared with us a passionate message of how we are all called to be servant leaders and how we are called to model servant leadership. We are always to be humble. We are always to be willing to do the work, right? Alongside our brothers and sisters in Christ as we work to bring the message of Jesus and his love to all of those around us. You know, in our hospitality, we are also called to lead by example. And he also reminded us that we cannot be that just here, right? So we're called to be servant leaders outside of these walls as well. And we lead by the example that Jesus gave us. And today, we are to remember who it is that we are serving, Christ the King. Today is Christ the King or Christ Reigns Sunday. Now, I do think it's important more than ever that we always remember that Christ does reign. He is still in charge. He's still on his throne, and no matter the circumstances, the unrest, the strife that we have in this world or in our homes or even in our church, Christ is King, and he still reigns today. Amen? Amen. So as we dive into Scripture today, I want you to keep that in the back of your mind, that theme, Christ the King. And as with much of Jesus' teaching and with his life as well, it seems that he liked to turn the world on its head. So keep Pastor's words of servant leadership also in your mind as we explore this morning the Gospel of Luke, the 23rd chapter. And so we're going to begin in verse 33 and go all the way through verse 43. Now, I did not remember to look in your Bible, so if somebody just wants to, you all can find it. Luke, we're going to do Luke 23, verses 33 through 43. So open your Bibles this morning and we'll begin. Verse 33 begins, "And they came to the place that is called the Skull, and there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.' And they cast lots to divide his garments, and the people stood by watching. But the ruler scoffing at him, saying, 'He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one.' The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, 'If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself.' There was also an inscription over him, 'This is the King of the Jews.' One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, 'Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us.' But the other rebuked him, saying, 'Do not fear God, since you are under the same, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation. And we indeed justly, for we are receiving this due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me, church? Heavenly Father, we invite your spirit this day to fill this place. We honor you, O Lord, as our King. Open your word to us. Write upon our hearts your thoughts this day. And help us to be servant leaders in your kingdom and to be ever aware of your kingship. Remind us this day of your love, your mercy, and your grace. Amen. So, you know, it's a very simple statement, really, to start today's reading. Verse 33 says, and they came to a place that is called the Skull, and there they crucified him. You know, Luke appears to understand that there's no need for any further explanation of the act that was done. And the readers of this first readers of this gospel would have understood what that looked like. They had seen it. They knew the gruesome details of that very simple statement. There they crucified him. John Wesley, in his explanatory notes on the New Testament, wrote these words on that passage. John Wesley said, while they were actually nailing him to the cross, he seems to feel the injury that they did to their own souls more than the wounds they gave him, and as it were, to forget his own anguish out of the concern for their own salvation. Even in this moment, Jesus thought of them, and he was thinking of us. He was the servant leader, always thinking of others. And that's what he did, and that's how he responded to this act of cruelty. He responded in only the way that he could in his own nature. He prayed for us. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. While his humanity bled on the cross, he thought of us, and he pointed us towards the Father. You know, on this Christ the King Sunday, we do see in the next verse that the inscription over the cross, which read, King of the Jews, but it was meant to mock Jesus, not to make a statement to us or to who he was. You know, Luke has, if you read the Gospel of Luke, he depicts over and over the real kingship of Jesus, so compelling that I think he can be confident in the moment that the readers would grasp the irony of that inscription. One scholar commenting on this passage writes, Jesus was never more King and Savior than on the cross. But more on that later. So those around Jesus reacted in the way that we've come to expect, right, from folks whenever they don't understand or things aren't going their way. They lashed out, offering up hateful statements, throwing insults at one who couldn't at this point defend himself or he chose not to. Jesus was not, has not, and is not interested in getting into the mud and the muck. He always stands above it. And again, he shows his servant leadership. I mean, the Lion of Judah, our King, becoming the sacrificial lamb for us all. And then we come to the passage that, in my opinion, means everything. After one of the criminals calls for him to save himself, and oh, by the way, save him as well, right? The other cries out for what we all really desire. A cry that is deep within us all, and that is the cry to be remembered. And he simply says, Jesus, remember me. And don't we all know what it is to be remembered and what it is to be forgotten. So think back to a time you were remembered. So what happened? How did it feel? Maybe it was a phone call or a letter. Maybe it was a gift or a simple word. Maybe it was a surprise, or maybe it was just what you were hoping for. Maybe it was as simple as someone recognizing you, looking you in the eyes, and calling you by name. Regardless of what it was or how it came about, it brought you some sense of life, of healing and wholeness. We all want to be remembered. It means that we matter. We belong. We exist. And our life is real. When we are remembered, everyone else bears witness to those things. You know, there's life and presence and relationship and being remembered. We know how important remembering is. I mean, it was only a few weeks ago on All Saints Day that we remembered the names of those who we love and who love us. Those who are forever a part of us in our lives. Those who have nurtured, cared for, and taught us. When we are remembered, it is as if our life is being put back together again, because it is. That's exactly what is happening. We are being made whole. Despite the scattered pieces of our lives, things done, things left undone, in the moment of being remembered, we are seen, recognized, and known by name. We are alive, and we are remembered. So compare that to a time when you were forgotten. What did that feel like? You ever sat in a restaurant and waited on someone to show up, and they never did? How about that person that looks at you, begins to speak, and you realize that you have no idea who they are, or they have no idea who you are, or they think you're someone else? Maybe someone forgot your birthday, or heaven forbid, Jeff, your anniversary, or your wedding date, or the death of one of your loved ones. In those moments, we feel alone, abandoned, uncertain, afraid, wounded, maybe even angry. There's a sense of hopelessness. Questions and doubts arise within us. We're no longer sure of our place and whether we even belong. But regardless of how or why it comes about, there is hurt, separation, and isolation. It's a dismembering of relationship in our life. No one wants to be forgotten or asked to be forgotten. Whether we speak it aloud or not, our cry is always to be remembered. Every day we stand on the threshold between being remembered and forgotten. We also stand in the threshold of remembering or forgetting another. Now, I'm not talking about the usual understanding of remembering and forgetting as a mental activity. This is more than recalling a past event or failing to stop at the grocery store on the way to pick up milk. I'm speaking of remembering in a sense of joining the pieces back together, putting the parts back together again as one. You know, the opposite of remembering is dismembering, separation, pulling apart, tearing limb from limb. You know, the thief on the cross, the criminal on the cross, wants to be remembered, to be put back together again. He's not asking to simply be thought about. What good does that do him, really? I mean, he cries out, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus responds, "I'll think about you when I am in paradise. I'll think about this day. I'll think how tragic and sad your life is, but I won't do anything about it." Now, that's neither what the thief is asking for nor what he needs. And that's not what we need. nor what we ask for. Just like the thief, we want to be remembered, to have the many pieces of our lives put back together. Our cry is to be remembered. It's also a recognition and a confession that we are dismembered. We are lost. Pieces have been scattered and lost. Sometimes it happens through the circumstances of life, of loss and grief, shattered dreams, disappointment, regret, failures, the death of a loved one. Other times it comes about through our own actions, our own words, our own thoughts. Our life becomes fragmented and broken. And when this happens, we can easily become thieves. We take what's not ours. We begin to dismember others' lives in an attempt to put our own back together. And that happens in so many ordinary ways: anger, resentment, criticism, judgment, envy, compassion, competition, gossip. Should I go on? Is everyone getting the story here? The need to be in control, busyness. Wherever there is strain in our relationships or hurt, brokenness, chances are that you or another are being dismembered or torn apart. Brothers and sisters, this is not the life God gave us. This is not God's hope for us. It's not the way that it was in the very beginning. If you'll remember, on the day of creation, when God looked at all creation, us included, right? Us included, and declared, "It is very good. It's very good." Sometimes, however, we may not even recognize our own dismembering. Remember when the leaders and the soldiers and the other criminals in today's gospel said, "Save yourself. Prove who you are. Save us." They wanted a magic show. They wanted to escape their lives rather than have them put back together in a way they could ever imagine. So they mock. They deride Jesus. They demand proof. There are all signs. These are all signs of their own dismemberment. They even divide and dismember Jesus' clothing. And in the midst of it all, however, there is an ironic truth, and that is the inspiration or inscription hanging above Jesus' head, a sign of remembering, "This is the King of the Jews." You know, brothers and sisters, the cross is the ultimate act of remembering. It is God in Christ joining and aligning himself with us in pain and suffering of his own life. Remembering is always an act of love. And every time that we participate in the life of Christ by living with mercy and compassion and forgiveness, every time we speak a word of hope, a word of encouragement, every time that we love without condition, without expectation, or without payment, every time we share our bread and live in communion with one another, we participate in Christ's remembering of our own lives and the lives of each other and the lives and the life of the world. We do this in remembrance. And in those moments, we hear the promise of Jesus, which was, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." Paradise. Paradise is the state of being remembered. It's being put back together. And it's what Jesus offers us. Not Jesus and, not Jesus plus, but the simple invitation that Jesus offers us to be put back together again. And that's how it was intended from the very beginning. To be put in right standing before our God. To join Him in paradise forever. Today, you shall be with me in paradise. So why is this promise given to us on this Sunday, the last Sunday of the church year? So why this gospel reading for today? I believe this promise is the hinge between the ending of the liturgical year and the beginning of the next. It stands between the crucifixion and the nativity. Ultimately, it is the promise that joins many different endings in our lives with a new beginning. In Christ's eyes, we are never forgotten and dismembered. We are forever and always remembered. Remember His words, "Today you will be with me in paradise." It's Jesus' promise. It's Jesus' promise to all of us. Our King, continually offering Himself for us so that we can be put back together, to be reconciled, and inviting us, brothers and sisters, to be part of His kingdom because Christ reigns. I offer this to you this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.